Pass those out. Good to be with you guys. Good to be with you all. I love New Mexico. My daughter lives in Clovis. She and her family live in Clovis. And so I'd love to say that I came all the way from Richmond, Virginia, just to speak to you. And my main reason for coming is my daughter's birthday and my oldest grandson's birthday. And my son-in-law is deployed overseas right now. And so this was a chance for me to be dad and be I'm named Poppy is what they call me for my grandkids. I don't know what you call your grandparents, but my background is I'm a native originally. I don't know if there'll be enough for everybody, so if everybody can kind of share the handout there. I'm a native of Louisiana. Did campus ministry just like this in Ohio. A large residential campus like this at Kent State University, a large commuter school, the University of Akron, and then a small Christian college, Malone College. And so college ministry, working with students, is really my heart and passion. What I do is I try to help students like you connect with our IMB missionaries around the world. And so really, we have projects that our field personnel send us, and they say, please send us students. We want students to come help us. And so I'm here to share with you not only from God's Word, but to share with you projects and opportunities that you can jump in and join in and be a part of literally around the world. But as we get started, I'd like for you to just quickly at your table, I'd like for you to turn to each other. I'd like for you to talk to each other about who's the best listener you know and what makes them a good listener. So you got like 2 minutes. Quickly, who's the best listener you know and what makes them a good listener? Go. All right, time. Okay, that's time. All right. I knew that wasn't long. All right, let's have somebody from this table. Who's the best listener you know and why? Somebody from this table.
A guy who I used to meet with about 2 years ago, not only listened to me, but was an active listener. You know, I'm sitting there and he's like, oh, yeah, I understand. He'd like repeat things I was saying back to me, like, is this what you meant? Because it's more than just like sitting there quietly and staring at someone, right? It's like engaging.
Okay, so he's an active listener, all right? Somebody at this table. Who's the best listener you know and why? Oh, there's nothing more frustrating than you're kind of spilling your guts and somebody just cuts you off because they think they know what you're going to say, right? All right, so your mom's a good listener, all right? Somebody from this table over here, last one. Who's the best listener you know and why?
I would definitely have to say my roommate.
This one. Oh. And why? All right. Second question, right at your table, some hobbies or activities that you like to do. What are some things you like to do? Some hobbies or activities. And if you didn't get to talk the first time, this is your chance, all right? Go, you got just a minute or two. Go, quickly. Okay, time. All right, that's time. All right, let's. Hopefully, you learned something that you didn't know about somebody at the table, right? Maybe somebody share with us maybe a hobby or an activity that somebody liked that you were surprised at. Yeah.
Thai wrestles. And it.
Okay. Heck no.
I must hear the demonstration.
Right now.
All right. Don't know that I'm familiar with that one. All right. All right. Somebody here. Okay. Cool. Very good. All right. One of the activities that I like to do best is backpacking. And I'm, of course, we're in the West. You've got the Pacific Coast Trail and the Continental Divide Trail, but over in the east we have the Appalachian Trail, and so I am section hiking the Appalachian Trail northward from Georgia to Maine. I've done about 500 miles of it, which is about it's about 18-19% of it, all right? So, matter of fact, next week I'm going to do another four-day trip. So that's one of the things I like to do, but I run, I swim, I ride a bike, so I do triathlons sometimes. So those are some things that I like to do. And then I love to read. I mean, I don't read a whole lot of thick novels and stuff, but I just read, and I read, and I read, just all sorts of kind of things. And if you've ever done the Strengths Finder kind of thing, are you familiar, anybody familiar with that? It's kind of a personality kind of thing. One of mine is learner. I'm just constantly trying to learn things. All right, last thing. Turn to somebody and talk to maybe somebody you don't know or somebody that you haven't talked to yet. Why are you majoring in what you're majoring in? All right, you just got quickly. Yeah, what are you majoring in and why? Go. All right, time, all right. I know I didn't give you a whole lot of time. Anybody have a unique major that you learned about? A unique major?
She has a sign language major.
Oh, very good, all right, good. Anybody else? Anybody else do a major you?
Emergency medicine.
Cool, so if we get in a car wreck, we're gonna come to you, right? Good. Yep. All right. So, all those things, being a good listener, what do you like to do, and what your major is. We're going to come back to those as we look at God's Word together tonight. Now, one of the things that I think if you're a follower of Christ, one of the things that we know is that we're commanded to make disciples. Where do we find that? Matthew 28, what? Matthew 28:18-20. All right, let's start there. What is Matthew 28:18-20 often called? The Great Commission. All right, so let's start with somebody find that, stand up and read it loudly enough so everybody can hear it. All right, Matthew 28:18-20. All right. We thought you got it. She's answering. All right. Somebody stand up and read it for us. Go for it. Thank you.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
All right. Very good. Anybody know where the great commandment is? What's that?
Go and make disciples.
Okay, where is the great commandment found?
Oh, where?
Where? Like, this is...
Verse 19, right?
No, actually. You got the Great Commission, and then you have the Great Commandment. All right, let's try Luke chapter 10. Luke 10:25-27. Luke 10:25-27. Somebody stand and read that for us, please. Excellent. All right. So those two, in terms of scripture memory, those are two passages of scripture that I would strongly encourage you to dig deep into your heart, because those are kind of foundational scriptures upon when we think of the teaching of Jesus. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment are kind of like foundational things. They're, you know, this building... It doesn't have a basement, does it? All right, so, you know, you got a lot of solid dirt here. Let me just put it that way. You know, you got to till, if you're going to till it up to plow here in Albuquerque, it takes a little bit, you know, so this, you laid some concrete, you prepared the foundation, laid some concrete. This is a solid foundation. Those two passages of Scripture are pretty solid. You know, that we're to... As we're going through life, we're to go and we're to make disciples. And then how can we love our neighbor as ourselves? We can, and so those are two passages of Scripture. But how do we do that? I don't know of any student who would say, "Oh, you know, I really just don't have enough to do." Every student I know of feels like they're overwhelmed, super busy, you're working, you've got class, you've got other responsibilities. How do you live out the commandment to go and make disciples? How do you live out the great commission? And how do you live out the great commandment to love your neighbor as yourself? Those are incredible challenges. Well, the secret really, if you go back to the Great Commission, where it says go and make disciples, when you look at the original language, part of that deals with, it's a continuous action. And it really, another way to translate it is, as you're going. God doesn't say, okay, oh, let's segment my life over here, and While I have time, I'm going to make disciples. And when I have time, I'm going to love my neighbor. No, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, as you're going every day in the routine of your life, make disciples and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Foundational truths. So let's build upon that, though. When we think of living missionally and developing a missional lifestyle, it's got to be a natural part of what we do. First passage of Scripture let's look at together is in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Somebody read that for us, please. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest and 1 being the least, where would you rank, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or tell anybody else, just for yourself, consider, where would you put Jesus, your relationship with Christ, on a scale of 1 to 10 as a priority? Would Jesus be the top priority in your life? Would Jesus just be an afterthought, a one or a two? How would Jesus rank in the priorities of your everyday life? That's what's being said here in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All. With all your heart, soul, mind, another passage says strength. This is, what does it say? What kind of command is this? It's the first. It's the greatest. It's the most important. And the second commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, one of the things we often struggle with is loving ourselves, right? At least a lot of people I know. That's certainly something that I've struggled with at times. I grew up with a cleft palate and a speech impediment, and one of the challenging things for me was learning to love myself. There was a point in another point in my life where let's just say organizational change has happened at a company that I worked for, and the way I put it biblically is there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. In other words, leadership came into place that didn't know me, didn't care about anything I'd ever done, and basically I got downsized from that company. That was one of the most painful things that ever happened to me. I don't know what painful things have happened in your life. Maybe it's you never failed a class in your life and you came to UNM and you failed a class. Maybe you thought you'd found the man or woman of your dreams and they trashed your heart. Maybe it's your parents went through or are going through a painful divorce and left you feeling like no one really loves me. God really wants us to have a love for our neighbor. He wants us to demonstrate his love with those who are very likable and with those who are sometimes struggling with understanding how God loves them and how anyone could love them. But first and foremost, we have to learn to love ourselves as Jesus loves us. The thing that really helped me when I was younger in high school, middle school, learn to love myself was learning to see myself through the lens. Now, it's different to hold your phone up, but learning to see myself through the lens of how God loves me, that God loves me unconditionally. When I got downsized from a job I loved, it was the reiteration of the Holy Spirit in my life saying, your employment is in my hands. Your education is in my hands. I love you, and I'm going to lead you each step of the way. I love some of the words of some of the psalms we sang about how God is going to lead us through the challenging times as well as the good times. And there are going to be lots of joyful, wonderful times in your life, but there are also going to be some pain. Learn to love yourself because Jesus loves you, and in turn, love your neighbor as well, because that's part of what Jesus expects of us. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Similar passage, but a little bit different take on this. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Somebody read Luke 10, 25 to 29 for us. Somebody stand up and read 30 to 37 for us. Yes.
You say 30 to 37?
Right.
So in reply, Jesus said, the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, he stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. The priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too,
what do we learn from the story of the Good Samaritan? What's the basic takeaway? What do we learn? What's the basic takeaway?
To help others when they need our help.
Okay.
God loves to others.
Help others when they need our help.
To view every person as your neighbor.
Okay.
So that you don't justify yourself, that you are loving your neighbor.
Okay. Was what the Samaritan did for the wounded guy, was it a little bit of expense and trouble for him, or was it a lot of expense and trouble for him? It was a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's on his journey. The other guy said, I'm too busy. The priest, the Levite, I'm too busy. They had other excuses, right? As we go through life, it's easy to say, I'm too busy. I can't be a missionary. I'm too busy. I can't serve others. I can't care for my neighbor. I got to study. The Samaritan took time out of his busy schedule and it cost him something. It cost him time, it cost him effort, and it cost him money, right? Olive oil, money, time. It was his loving his neighbor was really fairly extravagant. He really invested. It wasn't easy. And so when Jesus says in the Great Commandment, as you're going, now interesting, did the Samaritan intend, did he set off that day to love his neighbor? He did it as he was going, a natural part of his life. And so here again, as you're going through your everyday life, look for ways that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus. One other passage, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, 8 to 17. Somebody read that for us. James 2, 8 to 17.
Also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
All right. That's a tremendously straightforward passage of Scripture. It's just right there in your face, isn't it? Do what the Scripture says. And God will be pleased. So practically, how can you live out these kind of biblical truths every day? I want to offer several different suggestions for you. And the first one I want to offer to you is, the first thing I want to say to you is to choose a major or a vocation with the intent of that being a platform to share the gospel. In other words, go back to, is loving God, where does loving Jesus fit in the priority scheme of your life? If loving God is the top priority of your life, how can granted, most of you, I was a history major in college, and I got a minor in personnel management. Now, what do? I work with people every day. So I use my minor much more than I ever did my major. But I will tell you, history tells you a lot about people. And so my major is not wasted per se, but I would say to you, choose a major or choose a vocation as you move on through life. Choose something, make a decision about what I do with my life, the life that God has given me, make it count. Choose a major or choose a vocation that will enable you to live out the gospel every day. My wife is a high school math teacher. She has more contact with lost people every day than I do in Christian ministry. I relate to Christians most of the time. That's not bad. I mean, I have lots of ways to invest in people, but my wife gets to interact with over 100 students, fellow teachers, administrators, and be a light for the gospel every day in a public high school. She could be a teacher and totally separate what she does vocationally from her Christian faith. but she's choosing not to. And my plea with you, as we think about the scriptures we read tonight, is how will you decide? How will you choose to live out the gospel in whatever vocation God gives you? That's an ongoing thing throughout your life that you can do. Now, I want to share with you something that, before we get to the others, something that priority, I can't spell tonight, all right? A priority pyramid. How do you do that? One thing I want to say to you, the first thing is that your life is founded in Christ. Well, this isn't on your outline at all, on your study guide. But if you want to make good decisions about living out your vocation or your life for Christ every day, the first and foremost thing is that your life is founded in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. There's no other foundation that has been laid than that which is Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've not decided to lay your life, that Jesus is going to be the foundation, the priority for your life, that's the first step. The second step of every day choosing to live out the gospel in your vocation is to not only know Jesus, but then 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anybody know what that is? That's a great memory verse as well. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. All right? And so you're becoming, not only is our life founded in Christ, but become the person that God wants you to be. Become the man or woman. Focus on becoming the man or woman that God wants you to be. There's no substitute for being who you are in Christ. Come back to my experience of growing up with a speech impediment and a cleft palate and all of that, and then later getting downsized in a corporate downsizing. All of those things can easily strike at who you are as a person. But the thing that helped me was that my identity, another way to say this is what is your identity as a believer? If your identity is resting in your job, if your identity is resting in your relationship, if your identity is resting in something other than Jesus, life is going to hit you mighty hard along the way. Let your life be founded on Christ. Let your personhood or your identity be in Jesus. And then what's the message of your life? What is your life saying? What does your life say to other people around you? What message do you communicate? Exudes out of the pores. Exudes out of people observing you every day. What's the message? Oh, he or she is about X. What comes out of your life? Next thing is, what is the ministry that God has given you? How are you living out the gospel? And I'm not talking about in the future. What are the practical ways that you're living out the gospel today? Are you involved in, how are you involved in your church? How are you involved in giving? Are you involved in worship? Are you involved in teaching the Bible? Are you involved in loving on kids? Are you involved in working with homeless folks? Are you involved in helping fight human trafficking? What is the ministry that God's given you? And you can say, well, I don't have time for a ministry. Sure you do. Life doesn't slow down once you graduate from college. Get married, have kids, you know, have a full-time job. Boy, life doesn't slow down. Doesn't slow down once you, does adopting a child make it easier? No. Yeah, better. But it is busier. I never would have believed when somebody told me that I had more time than ever as a college student. I never believed that until I graduated and life happened. But what's the ministry? And then finally, your daily work. When you get a, not only whatever your job is now, but let me also quickly add this in there. Marriage or singleness, okay? So in other words, as you think about how am I going to live out my Christian commitment, be founded in Christ, be the person, find your identity in Jesus, what's the message of your life? Your life should be consistent with what you believe about the gospel. Get involved. There's no substitute for, you know, the saddest people are the people who don't do things, who aren't involved in ministry. If you're just going to school and working, if you're not involved in somehow ministry outside of yourself, it's not going to be fulfilling. The gospel transforms us so that we can live out being a neighbor to somebody else and being the hands and feet. And then your daily work is that all these flow from each other. And then choosing whether God wants you to be married or single, that all flows out of how does this relate to my relationship with Christ? Marriage is not something we do just for ourselves. Marriage is a partnership. It's a covenant together with somebody to best live out how God and who God has made you to be. So the very first way to practically be on mission for Christ is to choose a major or a vocation that enables you to do that. Secondly, I want to say to you, decide how you're going to spend your money. All right, what are some of the majors in the room? Anybody an engineering major? All right. What's an average salary for an engineering major in 5 years after you graduate? All right, and what engineering specialty? Mechanical. All right. Any of the others, petroleum or any others, maybe different than that? All right. I know we got some education majors probably, right? What's the average pay for a teacher after you've been out of school about 5 years? Well, you don't know. Okay, right? All right. It varies, all right? But let's just say, engineers roughly are making 70K. Let's say teachers roughly are going to make, let's just say 40K. All right. What are some other majors we have in the room? Business. What's an average business major make?
Between, I don't know, 50 to 70.
All right. Let's call that 60 then, all right? We'll take we'll split the difference. All right. Decide how will you use your time and your money. So if I'm going to make, let me just say, don't rob God. Start with a minimum. Don't get hung up on a 10% tithe. hey, 10% is just the floor. Decide what am I going to give? What am I willing to give and sacrifice? What does God want me to give? Start by praying and asking, what is God, not what does God expect of me? What do I have the joy and the opportunity of giving? Because God's given all of it to me. So start with 10%, and then I'm going to suggest that minimally you ought to save at least 10%. And if you've got a, if the company you work for has a match, you need to save what, you know, if they'll give you an 8% match, if you save 8%, you're crazy if you don't save 8%. Because that makes 16%, right? All right? And then you've got, if you will learn to live on 75 to 80% of your income, you will find, and if you will do that from the time you start, time you graduate, or even now, because many of you are working, you will find great joy in the ability to give. There is no greater joy than the ability to give. There's a great song, you go look it up, write it down, a song called The Things We Leave Behind by Michael Card. Probably not somebody you ever heard of, but he is a great storyteller, songwriter, The Things We Leave Behind by Michael Card. And there's no greater freedom than not getting caught up in possessions and the stuff of life. Decide how you will use your time to glorify God and not just all for yourself. There are a number of passages we could say about that. How could living more simply enhance your life and enhance the gospel? Take a minute and share at your table. How could living more simply, living on less, enhance your life and enhance the gospel? Take just a minute or two and share at your table. Go. All right, time. All right, anybody? Let's have somebody share what you came up with. Anybody? One or two people. How can living more simply benefit both you and the gospel? Yes, ma'am. Excellent. Somebody else.
So we were talking about, you know, living on less kind of forces you to or depend more on God. Your faith has to be lived out. You don't have as much. And so you
Good. So we're exercising faith, that, you know, in a biblical sense. Good. All right. Next thing I would say is not only choose, but also decide. And then finally, or another thing, not finally, but the next thing is connect. Connect with non-believers. You remember we started off by asking what's your hobbies, your interests, what do you do, that sort of thing. Choose to connect with non-believers. And the best way to do that is through the things you already enjoy. You know, I connect with people when I go to the gym. I connect with, there's a whole body of people that I would never, ever meet unless I went with intentionality. When I go backpacking on the Appalachian Trail, there is a whole subculture of people out there that I would never connect with unless I were out on the trail. And so do life with intentionality. Choose to connect with people. How do you feel like your hobbies, interests, skills can, how can you use those to advance the gospel? Take a minute and just share at your table. How can you use your skills, your interests, the activities you're already doing to advance the gospel? Go. All right, very good. Anybody want to share? How can you use your activities, your interests, your hobbies to advance the gospel?
We had two good ones.
Oh. Go.
Sorry. So Ty said he plays on soccer teams and like gets to meet some people there. That was cool. And then Jared said that he and this other student are doing math homework together.
Okay.
Starting to build friendship there.
Good. Good. Who did Jesus meet in John chapter 4? Anybody remember? The woman at the well. Remember what it says in John 4:1? And Jesus had to go through Samaria. I mean, that wasn't the typical route. A little background. The typical route was that the Jews went up to the edge of Samaria, they crossed over the river, went up the other side, and then came back so that they didn't have to go where the hated Samaritans were. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus chose to go straight through Samaria because he wanted to connect with somebody who didn't look like him, really, who didn't believe like him, who didn't think like him. I mean, the lady had five husbands, and the one she was living with then wasn't her husband. That's what John 4 says. Connect with people who have yet to know the gospel. One of the most challenging things for us, for people who are Christ followers, is that if you've been a Christ follower for more than a few years, 90 to 95% of your friends are also Christ followers. But Jesus continually and repeatedly went to where people who needed to hear the gospel were. I want to challenge you to connect with your lost classmates, lost people in the dorm, people you work with, and not just kind of, you know, every acquaintance conversation, but genuinely try to have a conversation with them and try to connect and build a bridge to share the good news and the hope that is within you as a believer. One other thing you can do is serve. What are some ways? Look with me at Matthew 20, 28. Interesting verse. Let's actually begin in, you could actually begin back in verse 25. But Jesus called them over and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles dominate them, and the men of high position exercise power over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to be great must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for many." We won't go deeper than this for right now. But I want you to think of what are some ways that you could serve your classmates. You could serve your roommate. You could serve your non-believing family. You could serve the people that you work with. What are some ways that you could demonstrate the love of God in, through service, through serving them, and thereby open the opportunity? Many of our international missionaries spend an awful lot of time working to learn language, to learn culture, to learn customs, because the anybody know why would I not use this hand to eat with in India? The left hand is considered unclean because in many cultures around the world, you use it, the left hand, for personal hygiene. All right? So my daughter, who is left-handed, my wife and I are right-handed, my daughter and my son are left-handed, and two of my three grandchildren are left-handed. I have a sister who's left-handed. They would all have trouble, all right? You know? Because, you know, there are lots of customs that are just normal. Stand up a minute, Ty. All right? Now, you and I, just look at me just a minute here. All right, this is about how far we normally have a conversation, right? Here in New Mexico and the United States, but in many cultures of the world, what do you do if I get right up here, Ty? Okay, thanks, Ty. All right, there are a lot of cultures where we call them hot cultures. And, there's a lot more, not nearly as much space there, but then there are also cold cultures where you stand your distance a little bit more. There are lots of things like that, but you can choose to serve and demonstrate the love of Christ. And you adapt to people in such a way. Paul said, "I have become all things so that some may hear the gospel." One of the things we often do as Christ followers is we often do a lot of talking. You remember we started off by asking who's the best listener and why? One of the best ways to be a gospel sharer, a Christ follower, is to be a good listener. And all the traits that were mentioned earlier or exactly those things. Truly listening and making eye contact. You know, listening to the point of hearing them out rather than thinking ahead and injecting what is important in your way of thinking. All those sorts of things. Learning to listen is a crucial factor in sharing the gospel, not only here, but also overseas. One other thing I want to say to you is, so in terms of, you know, we talked about serve, talk about listen, but finally I want to say to you is this, experience. You know, there are a lot of schools where you have to do co-ops. Do you have to do co-ops here? Some majors maybe. they do that because of experience. Each of you probably have 10 to 12, you know, depending on how long you're in school, 4 to 5, 6 years for an undergraduate degree. You're going to have about 10 or 12 segments of time. Fall, spring, summer, fall, spring, summer, all right? And so my challenge to you is to tithe, give at least one of the segments of your college career to be a student missionary. You can. There are lots of ways to serve. I mean, there are, I would say to you, just personal bias here, Christian camps are good, but that's not really being a missionary. I want to challenge you to give at least one term, a summer, a semester. I served as a summer missionary the summer after I graduated from college. I worked with migrant farm laborers on the eastern shore of Maryland, folks who worked their way up the East Coast working seasonal crops. And the churches in eastern Maryland gave me a station wagon, and they filled it with clothes and food and Bibles and said, go find these hurting and lost people and help us connect with them. So I drove all over the upper half of the eastern shore of Maryland looking for migrant camps hidden in the back of farmers' fields. And I would go in and share food and clothes and Bible. I met people who literally had nothing more to their name than the clothes they had on, tennis shoes wrapped up in duct tape. I grew up in a college town in Louisiana, and this was cross-cultural missions for me. Instead of saying, I'm too busy, I can't go, and finding every excuse, just like the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Live sacrificially in such a way that you can give a summer, you can give 10 days or 2 weeks over Christmas, you can give a semester, maybe after you graduate, and go overseas. You know, there are projects that you all are focusing on right now through FOCUS, which is kind of your group to work with, if you will. But FOCUS projects work through the International Mission Board. They work with our IMB missionaries. I've got a bunch of other projects over here. Love for you to look at those. You can, you can look at hundreds of them if you go to imbstudents.org. There are lots of projects out there. I want to encourage you to think and pray about a FOCUS project for the summer. I want to encourage you to think about how could you, we have a Christmas in China project. We have a Christmas in India project, right after Christmas. Find a way to serve, because if you want to live missionally for Christ, if you want to, as you're going, make disciples, if you want to be a neighbor, as Jesus describes being a neighbor, choose. Decide. Connect with lost people. Serve. Not only your fellow Christians, but lost people. Listen. Experience. Live out the gospel by serving overseas for a summer or a semester, and God will grab your heart more than you will ever know. It pleases God when we listen to Him. My challenge is, will you pray? Will you ask God, God, what is it that you expect from me? As a ninth grade young man, I think it was ninth grade, might have been 10th grade, I was on a camp out with a bunch of guys from my church, and God had been stirring in my heart. But remember, I grew up with a speech impediment, a cleft palate. The whole idea of being in ministry just terrified. Matter of fact, I even tried to go, the first time I tried to go speak in front of a group of people, I was a high school student. It was Youth Sunday at my church. I went to the college department. There were about this many students there. And it was a hot day in Louisiana. And I got so nervous. I got up there and I held onto the podium to give a devotional, and I fainted. I fainted. I promise you, I fainted. I flat out fell in the floor. So don't tell me I can't. Don't give God an excuse. God will equip you. God will provide for you. Take Him at His word and live by faith. Live by faith and not by sight. Trust Him to provide. And that little dirt road in the middle of North Louisiana, I had kind of all those things flowing through my head. And I got down in the middle of the road and I said, God, I do not understand how you can use me. But I'm willing, Lord, to be used. Are you willing to have that prayer in your life today? Are you willing to ask God, how can you use me, Lord? Are you willing to live by faith and not by sight? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for these students. And Lord, I just pray that they would passionately worship you. First, that they would know you, Father. And they would passionately worship and serve you. And they would live out the gospel on this campus and literally around the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.